Hello, hello, all you lovely people. Welcome back to yet another new episode of Sustainability 101. This is Pratiksha with my co-host Prateek, and we welcome you to the Sustainability 101 podcast. We are here to make your sustainability journey a bit more exciting and doable, because sustainability isn't all metal straws and measuring your carbon footprint. It's a fun and ever-evolving ways of life that you can be part of.
Correct, Pratiksha. Hi, everyone. Hi, Pratiksha. So I hope you are having a good time. We are so excited to talk to you guys. Before we continue, we just want to thank you all for the tremendous support and love you have been showering on our podcast, on our social media pages, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, yeah. And we are super grateful for that.
Cool. And we are always open to learning new ideas and suggestions. And so please feel free to reach out to us. We really would love to include your contribution.
Exactly. Make sure you guys visit us on our website, which is www.sustainability101podcast.com. It's a podcast with an S in the end. If you go to our contact us page on our website, you'll find all the ways in which you can reach out to us, where you can find information about our team, how this journey started, and we are so much happy to hear from you.
Okay, so let's begin with introducing our new guest. So talking about our today's guest, she's an entrepreneur having over 13 years experience in the financial sector, who has a strong sense of purposeful living and environmental consciousness. Those morals led her to finding an organic, ethical and carbon neutral businesses. Let's welcome Barkha Bhatnagar Das, co-founder of Green Indigo, which is in Mumbai-based kids clothing brand, which its ethos rooted in a sustainable approach. Welcome, Barkha.
Hi, Pratiksha. Hi, Prateek. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Welcome, Barkha. It's been amazing as well to have you as our guest. Yeah. We are planning on to get you for all the amazing work which you have done and you're doing, and we really want our listeners and we really want to spread the word of that beautiful work you're doing. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the kind words, and kudos to you guys for spreading the word around for all sustainable businesses, because that truly is the need of the hour. So yeah. I guess it's a mutual admiration, because I think every step that we take makes a difference. So spreading awareness itself is a big step, and kudos to you guys.
Thank you so much, Barkha. Let's begin with the first question. From working in the financial sector for over 13 years to starting an organic clothing brand, Green Indigo, how did it all happen?
So, like you rightly said, Pratiksha, I have always been a corporate slave, and I have worked in the banking sector for more than 13 years. But I believe in living very mindfully. So even when I was growing up, it was all about not having anything wasted at home, or always being close to nature. And basically all the little things that, now are a big deal, but were very, very, ingrained in the way we lived early on. Basically, what Green Indigo was born out of, a deep concern for the health and environmental issues associated with the use of synthetic fabrics. We all know how synthetics are flooding our markets. And, they are a very cheap alternative available to all of us. And the truth of the matter is, that when we buy any garments for ourselves or for our loved ones, we never check the label. We never check what is the fabric, where was it made, how was it made. Correct. These are the questions which never even occur to us. And, me and my co-founder, both of us kind of went down the rabbit hole, researching a little bit more about synthetics. And we were really horrified, because there are so many health concerns that, can get triggered with synthetic fabrics. So And we decided to get into children's clothing specifically because, you know, their skin is significantly thinner and more absorbent of substances present in their clothes. Mm-hmm. And it never occurs to us that, you know, all the lifestyle diseases that are now, you know, so commonly, you know, heard of, even in young children, you know, they get skin rashes and allergies and respiratory disorders. All these are obviously because of the huge exposure that we all have to toxic substances. And clothes, unfortunately, are also a part of that. It's not just the food that we are eating. And, you know, because these garments are, you know, synthetic fabrics are man-made and they're laced with really hazardous substances. So that was actually the starting point of us figuring out what is a safer alternative to synthetics, and safer not only from a health point of view, but also from an environmental point of view. Because synthetic fabrics, like you guys would be aware, take like 200 years to decompose, and still they will never completely dissolve in the soil. They'll always remain in the form of microplastics. So so basically our aim was to be a part of the solution rather than the problem. And that's how, you know, we embarked on this journey to make organic cotton clothing that is safe for human health and made in an environmentally and socially responsible way.
Yeah, that's like nowadays this organic term is buzzword, you know, and everybody want to be sustainable. Everybody wants to make their life choices better for themselves, for their children. So I think you have come up with a great solution, and I hope every mother like buy this product and make them their children safe with this all good organic clothing. And that's amazing.
Thank you.
I'm also, Barkha, like really impressed with the sector you have targeted with this business, right? Like the baby care, and there's a big like you know, if we speak on a business level, there's a big market out there, but at the same time I have never seen someone thought about adding the sustainability touch to it. And not only just adding the sustainability touch, but at the same time, like, you know, making your products, like, you know, free from toxins, free from GMO and pesticides and fertilizers, and at the same time providing the look and comfort which normal clothes do. So that's really awesome. And I mean, kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
And also, like, while you were like, you know, about to start the business, and while you're about to start Grindigo, so the transition which you made, was it smooth? Did you get any support from your family and colleagues?
Yeah, so, you know, Prateek, leaving a cushy job is not easy.
Exactly.
but you know, I was driven by my calling, and my purpose propelled me to take that decision. So, you know, while I was still working, my co-founder and I decided to start out with our research, and we always wanted to do something that moves the needle on living sustainably. And, you know, like I said, we went down the rabbit hole and researched more about the apparel industry. And the more we went down that research path, the more horrified we were with the abundance of synthetics. Now, you know, you very rightly said that, you know, sustainable clothing for children is something that is not very commonly heard of. That is because, you know, while young parents today are very, very conscious of making safe choices for their children, what also happens is that children outgrow their clothes very fast. So there is that attitude of, you know, oh, this is going to last just for, you know, a couple of months. Why spend so much? Let's just pick up something because it's going to get ditched anyway. Now, that is precisely the problem, because children are such a huge segment, you know, huge consumer segment for apparel, because they require that many clothes. That's where the problem is even graver, not only from a health point of view, but even from an environmental point of view, because there are that many more clothes getting discarded and reaching our landfills. So our aim has always been to, you know, make very cleverly designed clothes which last longer. And organic cotton, you know, because it is devoid of all chemical treatments, etc., it is anyway a stronger fiber, and it's great to kind of you know, pass on or donate, or, you know, like we have hand-me-downs, you know, those kind of things can easily be done with organic cotton. So not only is it safe for the person, but it's also great from an environmental point of view, and it can be repurposed and recycled easily. Now, coming back to your question, yes, support from family and, you know, colleagues and friends was very, very encouraging. And, you know, I think people are now warmed up to the fact that, you know, as long as you have your passion and your vision and you have an idea that, you know, does seem viable, not only from a scaling up perspective, but also from a commercial point of view, one should definitely give a go. So, yes, it was a bit of a plunge that we took, and we are glad that we took that, because hopefully we'll be able to contribute and make more impact in a positive way.
That's amazing. What I can say is, like, you were the research, I guess, which you and your team would have done before starting was played a key role, I guess, and eventually you might have started gaining confidence on the thing which you're doing, and I'm really glad that everything worked out for you, Barkha.
Thank you. It wasn't a smooth ride, because there were many moments of doubt, and you know, because we didn't belong to this industry, so we were constantly doubting ourselves on how we would set up a supply chain, what kind of designs would work. Basically, the list is endless.
Yeah. I can understand totally, because everything, when you start something, there is this self-doubting. Every new initiative you take, there is self-doubting. I don't know how to remove that from my life too. So I think I can relate to you, Barkha. And whenever you start something mindful and meaningful, na, people will always oppose you, or people will say, no, nobody will buy because this product is so expensive, because they don't see the quality, they just see the amount which they are going to spend. If everybody like those you know, scam happens with H&M and everything, people used to go and buy those products because they used to think those are really good product material, right? Pratik, you only told me about the H&M, right?
So
I think this is going to happen if the amount and the quality, that is the question for everyone. And I think whatever you are doing, just keep doing it, don't stop, and don't you know, it is there, and you will succeed at some point. Okay, and we all will succeed. Okay, so let's go to the next amazing question. So how do you make sure that the cotton Greendigo uses is organically made and ethically sourced?
So Pratiksha, our entire supply chain, right from the cotton farms to the factories, and, you know, right from the fabrics to dyes and colors, is 100% certified by the Global Organic Textile Standard, which is also commonly known as GOTS. It is an internationally recognized certification, and it is literally the platinum standard when it comes to organic textiles. So Greendigo is certified end-to-end by this certification. And this certification affirms the organic status of raw materials and also guarantees that the manufacturing processes are environmentally and socially responsible. So the cotton farmers get a fair price for their produce, which helps them break away from a vicious cycle of debt. The factories are free of child labor and offer fair and safe working conditions to all workers. Further, you know, since our processes eliminate the use of artificial fertilizers and chemical pesticides and toxic dyes and colors, you know, the health of farmers, factory workers, and consumers is also safeguarded. Okay. So this prevents harmful chemicals to make their way up our food chains and contaminate our water bodies, because, you know, we all know that all you know, apparel processes, you know, have a huge amount of discharge, which is often released into water bodies, you know, which causes a long-term pollution. And
yes.
So all that gets avoided. Further, we also believe in plastic-free packaging. All our packaging to the consumer is reusable and recyclable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though this is not a differentiator where the end user is concerned, we very strongly believe that all of us need to clean up any impact that we make. Which is also why we've invested in being a zero carbon emission brand, right from the seed to the consumer's doorstep. So I would say that end to end, you know, right from the seed that the farmer is sowing to grow our cotton till our packaging and even the transport to the consumer's doorstep, we are trying to make sure that we do not have huge carbon emissions, and we, if at all the unavoidable emissions are there, we are offsetting it. So we are trying to have the least impact on environment.
Got it. So the packaging plays a most of the part, because I know sustainable packaging and supply chain matters a lot while you go sustainable, while you go on a sustainable journey. So I think that part is awesome. But where are these farmers located? From where you shift all this material?
So we work with organic cotton farmer communities in Orissa. And that's where we procure the cotton from. We very strongly believe in supporting local farmer communities and encouraging them, because what has happened with the green revolution, etc., is that all hybrid seeds, modified GMO modified seeds, started getting used. So it's in a way like a revival of pure organic farming, and these farmers use very interesting traditional agricultural methods, like instead of using artificial fertilizers, there are processes like crop rotation or using animal manure to maintain fertility of the soil. So it's very interesting how our the traditional way of doing things was far less damaging to the environment and our health. So what we aim to revive.
Absolutely. That's really amazing. Great. amazing.
since Barkha, now we have dived into the about cotton and its cultivation, I have this one question. Few weeks ago for my internship, I was researching something relating to organic cotton, and there was quite of confusion, I can say, which I ran into. Some said that the organic cotton is really good, it's the best source, it's the best alternative for normal cotton, while others oppose, saying that organic cotton requires more water to grow than the normal cotton. So I was like, I need a definite answer on this, and you were about to come on our episode, so I thought what better than to ask this person, to ask you, because you are the expert in this field. So I really want to know, is this a myth, or is this notion correct? Organic cotton is really healthy than normal one, or does it take more water to grow?
So Prateek, the doubt that you have is a very common one. Let me just attempt to answer that. So see, organic cotton takes about 90% less water to grow than conventional cotton. Okay. Secondly, how it actually helps in water conservation is also that, because cotton is grown without any chemicals or without any hazardous substances, it is not contaminating the water table, the fresh water that we use to drink. So the benefits of organic cotton, are far more than just comparing, the resources needed to grow it, because it has a cascading effect on, on wildlife, on the farmer's health, etc. So it's like a spiral reaction. Which takes place, and it definitely helps boost biodiversity, because it is all nature dependent, and without the intervention of any artificial fertilizers or chemicals. So if you are asking purely on the water consumption, yes, cotton itself consumes a lot of water. But if you are comparing conventional cotton to organic cotton, then organic cotton consumes far less water than conventional cotton.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So I would say to, kind of, so it just needs it just needs to be viewed with a slightly different lens, because the benefits are far reaching than just pure consumption of water.
Awesome. Awesome. So moving ahead, Barkha, I wanted to ask you, how could the textile industry play its part in ensuring its operations are more greener and planet friendly? And how did Green Indigo work towards achieving the goal of carbon neutrality?
So Prateek, as you are aware, we are a relatively new brand, and we wanted to start off with clean and sustainable practices right from the word go. We believe that it's important to have good processes in place right from the beginning, because the damage caused by a brand over a significant period of time can't be changed overnight. And to ensure that our supply chain was tuned for reducing carbon emissions in the first place, we chose to work with a sustainable fiber like organic cotton. All our production is carried out locally within India, and we offer good quality garments which are long lasting. So these are a few things that ensure that, you know, we are not contributing towards any long-term pollution. Secondly, by having a GOTS certified supply chain and, you know, plastic-free packaging, we attempt to work with a cleaner and greener approach to production and servicing customers. So it was only natural for us to adopt carbon offsetting, because while we have consciously built our supply chain to reduce carbon emissions wherever we can, the unavoidable emissions need to be addressed by way of offsets. And that's when, you know, we decided that the projects that we select will align with our supply chain. And we work with projects in reforestation, renewable energy and biogas, which is generally good for the community as well. So I think achieving carbon neutrality was like a given for us, because we all hear about the big corporates now saying that, you know, they would achieve zero emissions by 2040 or 2050, right? Because it is a fact that you cannot undo the damage that you are causing overnight. Which is why we were very, very conscious that the supply chain that we built has to be correct and clean in all respects from the word go. And that's what has helped us achieve carbon neutrality so quickly.
Beautiful. The fact that the thought process which went before starting, that you have one of carbon neutrality as one of your goals. Mm-hmm. So that's why you aligned your business accordingly. And this was a really smart move, I can say, which you guys did. Because like you said, there are companies planning to say that they will be carbon free, or they'll emit zero footprint by 2030. They'll use this percentage less amount of electricity by 2025 and something like that. But the fact that your companies roots are rely on achieving one of the biggest sustainable
goals. Yeah,
it makes it makes it different from others.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So the next question: many people don't care if the cotton material they use is organic or not. Why do you think it is important to go the organic way, not just in foods but also in clothing?
I think it's important for us to realize this, because people often don't realize how big an aspect health and safety is of living sustainably. People often think sustainability is just a very far-fetched concept where, you know, people are just constantly preaching and telling each other that, you know, you do this, it will save the earth, it will be for a brighter tomorrow of your children. But people don't go down to the granularity of what it actually means.
Yeah.
And which is why many people correlate sustainability with just the environment. and they don't think about how it impacts health. So, obviously it's a given, right? That it's very common sense that, you know, whatever we eat directly impacts our health. But like I said before, whatever we wear also impacts our health, because your skin, being the largest organ of your body, is very absorbent. And we are in contact with clothing 24/7, 365 days a year. Even when, you know, we sleep at night, we are on our bed sheets, which is, again, it could be synthetic, it could be whatever fabric. So it's very important for us to also view this from a very granular, from a very grassroots level, and make a change so that, you know, it snowballs into a larger impact collectively.
Yeah, even I never thought about that we wore clothes 24/7, 24/7, and we never thought of that, and that point was really valid and amazing. Your answer made my all traumas clear. Because everybody is nowadays, I want to eat organic food. I am like, dude, there is a farm food, there is organic. And nowadays, agroforestry, hydroponic, aquaponic, yeah, there are plenty of options. But if the soil is the main thing. And if we are, I don't have a problem with this, all new technologies coming around and blowing around. But the soil and the farmers and the villagers, I think those are the important things we need to, you know, care of. Because I don't know, this hydroponics, aquaponic will make difference, will feed 7 billion people or not. But I think that was the clear point which you said. And food and clothing are the different thing, but everybody need clothes and everybody need to eat. Everybody need to eat. Then those were the valid point. Did I make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have to be very mindful of everything that we are choices. Consuming.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. And cloth being like one of the essential necessities for human, like food, clothing and shelter. So we should really value it. I can say that. So, Barkha, I know you started with Green Indigo somewhere in the January of 2019, and the business must have been really booming initially, but then unfortunately the pandemic happened in the world, and this, as they say, like tough times paves the way for even tougher players. So how did Green Indigo thrive during the pandemic?
So Prateek, we started our operations in August 2019, and you are absolutely right, COVID hit us a few months after. And I think the COVID crisis has proven to be a test of agility for businesses, because there have been rampant supply chain disruptions, there have been logistical delays, and of course, there has been also a very jittery consumer sentiment. And we realized that the need of the hour for businesses, during the pandemic, was to stay nimble and thinking smart and modifying our value proposition in line with the realities of the market is what we actually focused on during the lockdown. And, for instance, we stalled the production of our apparel collection when the first lockdown was announced. And we quickly pivoted to introduce reusable organic cotton face masks for children and adults pretty early on. You know, this was at a time when there was almost no options for children's masks, and our foray into this product category got a very encouraging response. And of course, the other challenge was operating with very minimal staff. We experienced delayed order dispatches, and, logistical disruptions made things, really worse. But we did not want the consumer experience to be compromised. And just like how we did with our employees, we kept a very open communication going with our customers to build a long-term relationship. Because I think what the pandemic has taught us is that everyone has understood the challenges that businesses, especially small businesses, have faced during the lockdown. It's not been easy for anyone. So we really believe that, you know, having a very transparent approach, telling the customer that, you know, in case there are going to be delays, then let's just say it upfront rather than have any, you know, false expectations building up.
Wow, that's really great, because you really, like, you know, pivoted your like career plan due to the pandemic. And as they say, like, you either have to, like, you know, innovate and, like, you know, adapt rapidly to the current circumstances. If you don't do that, there's a high chance that, like, you either have to innovate or you have to die out. Basically, that's what I'm saying. And the fact that you mentioned these two words, agility and nimbleness, these words are, like, really close to me. And I know the importance of these words, like, even for, like, you know, a startup or for a medium level organization or for a bigger company. Because nowadays, I feel the pandemic has posed these kind of challenges wherein we cannot follow our conventional waterfall methodology of execution of the projects. We always need to move. Like, there's a high need for us to change from waterfall to agile transformation. Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, that was amazing, Prateek and Barkha. So let's move on to the next question. So, you know, people are not aware about greener options available to them in the markets. How do you reach out to the potential customer who would be willing to choose products or services that are pro-environment?
Okay, so Prateeksha, that's a very interesting question. But in our experience so far, we have realized that consumers always opt for a product that looks good, feels good, is pocket friendly, and you know, and it's not that, you know, the customer says that today I will go and shop for something which is sustainable or eco-friendly, right? Mm-hmm. It is always that I want a black t-shirt. So now when the consumer is actually going and making that purchase decision, he or she is first always going to see whether the functional aspects or the utility aspects of the product that he or she wishes to purchase are in place or not. And then if the product is sustainable or eco-friendly, that is a cherry on top.
Yeah.
So our approach has always been to make very, very thoughtfully designed garments which are comfortable to wear, buttery soft to feel, and convenient to maintain. It is a myth that, you know, organic cotton is a very difficult to maintain fabric. It is not the case. It can be tossed into the washing machine and each time it comes out feeling softer, it doesn't lose shape. So it's a very great fabric to have for daily wear, and especially for children, you know, where their clothes get washed that much more. So my answer to you would be to, you know, to answer your question would be that I think sustainable brands need to focus as much on the product design and functionality as, you know, and then if the consumer sees value in the product, you know, he would obviously consider your product. And if he then sees that it is a sustainable product, that is like an added bonus or a cherry on top.
Exactly.
Right.
I would like to add here just one more thing, that for a customer to see value in any product, that the customer will only see it when that particular product is solving, like, you know, that person's problem. And
absolutely, exactly.
So Green Digo did that. Like, you know, they really, like, you know, boosted their business with the innovation aspect. And I am really impressed, actually, because this was not, I'm sure, like, this was time consuming, but like, you giving importance to innovation in like while developing your entire business really worked out well for you, I can say that.
Thanks, Prateek.
So moving on, any advice, Barkha, would you like to give to our new moms on how to choose sustainable clothes for their kids?
So Prateek, you know, like I said, children are a very, very vulnerable consumer segment, you know, because they are more likely to absorb the toxins present in their garments, which can cause, you know, skin rashes and all those sorts of health concerns. Small children also take their clothes in their mouths, which increases the absorption of these substances. So, you know, this risk is not just limited to the clothes that they wear, but also to their blankets and to their bed sheets, etc. Basically, anything that their skin comes in contact with for significant number of hours every day.
Yeah.
So I would say that, you know, young moms definitely have to be very careful while selecting safe and suitable options for their children. They need to see what, you know, what fabric has been used, how has it been treated, and not just from, you know, and health point of view, but also from an environmental impact point of view. So it's to, and you know, to make a significant impact, it's not just the occasional party wear which needs to be sustainable. It is the daily casual wear which is worn in larger numbers, which must be responsibly produced. So young parents also need to check whether their organic cotton purchases have a verified third-party certification in place. For instance, like Greendigo has the GOTS certificate attached to all our garments, which guarantees the authenticity to the customer. So when a customer purchases a Greendigo garment, he or she is, you know, reassured of the product quality and the fact that it is genuinely organic end to end.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That is amazing. Like, obviously, certification I can see on your website, and it is amazing that you are valuing all the certificates and you are going, like, you are going in a right direction. So the next question, now many youngsters have come forward to start sustainable businesses. What would be that one piece of advice you would give to budding entrepreneurs?
So it is firstly very encouraging to see people gravitating towards businesses that have a positive impact on our planet. So I think all such youngsters must be applauded and encouraged by everyone. The advice that I would give is that, you know, sustainability is a marathon and not a sprint. it is a long journey. Which all of us have to embark on together. So, you know, it's important to appreciate every single step that any one of us takes towards a better tomorrow.
Yes.
There is no, you know, no matter how small a change or initiative it may be, it should be applauded instead of criticizing all that hasn't been done. So the important thing is to take that small step instead of none at all.
Okay,
that's a good piece of advice. I can say.
Yeah.
So basically, it is to, like, you know, think big and start small, and just continuously strive for, like, you know, making a change or making an impact. I can say.
Yeah. And Pratik, not get clouded by self doubt, because, you know, a lot of times people think that, oh, I'm doing this, but is it really having an impact? Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that every positive change that we make has an impact. And when many more hands get joined, that's when the big impact will be seen. But at our individual levels, we must continue to strive to make whatever little change we can.
Yeah. And I would say, like, if like initially from at the start onwards, if we are concerned about, like, you know, oh, making an impact, we have to get this done by so and so period, then I don't think so. It's a ideal way of starting a business or, like, continuing a business. I would prefer, like, you know, just continuing the work, upgrading yourself, upgrading your business practices, and eventually somewhere down the end of the line, you'll make an impact. And then you can assess your impact with all the metrics you want.
Yeah. And like I said, it's a continuous journey. You'll never reach, you know, a definite end to it that, oh, you know, this is the day. It is just a continuous process for all of us.
Yes. Correct.
Exactly.
Cool.
So this was a pretty wholesome conversation which we currently had, I mean, which we just all of three of us had. So thank you so much for answering those questions with so much care and enthusiasm, Barka. We are waiting to see what you do next.
Yes, and now let's add some more fun. How about a game, Prateek?
Yeah, that's our favorite part. I'm telling you, Barka, yeah. In every podcast.
I hope you guys don't put me in a spot.
No.
Don't worry.
Yeah, so let us play a few rounds of some games. So for those of you who are playing at home, leave answers to your questions in the comments or on our Instagram, and we would be very much glad to see your active participation in these games.
Yeah, and so let's start. So you have to say the first word which pops into your mind when you hear this word. Should we begin?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, Barka, what comes to your mind when you hear ecosystem?
All encompassing.
Oh, great.
Climate, it impacts everyone. Yeah.
Climate change.
The unfortunate truth.
Oh, very good. Resources.
Limited.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay. How about innovation?
Necessary.
Empowerment.
A non-negotiable.
All right. And last but not the least, diversity.
Very, very important.
Okay. Awesome. We like those answers.
Yeah, they were very crisp and precise, I can say. So
systematic,
I guess,
type. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we have time for one more game now. So, Barka, here we go. Now we are playing the game called Would You Rather, wherein we'll ask you questions, and that questions will have two options in the question itself. You'll have to pick one, and this might leave you in a tricky spot, but it'll be a fun one to explore.
Sure, yeah. Let's try this.
So, Barka, would you rather have an universal respect or unlimited power?
Universal respect.
Okay.
And tell me.
Go ahead.
Okay. Would you rather spend the next year free from all taxes or have a 1 month paid vacation?
1 month paid vacation? Much needed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, next, Prateek.
Yeah, this is like very off topic. It's, since we are on the note of vacation, so it's relating to that. Would you like to lounge by the pool or on the beach?
The beach.
Beach, right? Connecting with the nature, same.
Yeah, absolutely. Always.
Now you're going back to home. So would you rather have your flight delayed by 8 hours or lose your luggage?
Never lose my luggage. So yeah, I'll go for the flight delay.
Oh, that's like everyone like choose that one, right? Because things are important. What I'm saying. Okay. Right.
Okay. So this was a fun impromptu game which we had. I'm really not sure did you enjoy it or not, but I did.
I did.
Absolutely. This was fun. This was fun, guys. Okay.
So thank you so much for coming on our podcast today, Barka. It was amazing to talk to you, and we really appreciate guests who set examples for future change makers, and we hope you enjoyed yourself too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it was lovely talking to you guys.
Yeah.
So it's let me tell you, it's not over yet. So you'll have to answer two more questions, Barka.
Oh, okay.
So we really appreciate the guests who set examples for future change makers. We hope you enjoyed yourself too, Barka. Now we ask. Now we're going to ask the last two questions, which you ask to every guest of ours. this helps our listeners to dive straight into the personalities of our guests. Are you ready for this, Mika?
Yes. Yes. Let's see what you have in store.
Okay. Do you have any role models, especially someone who have been a motivation for you to be in the sustainable field?
So, let me give you a slightly different answer here. I think everyone who does their bit, you know, is a role model for someone else. So, for example, if in my own journey, you know, there are people who I knew make bioenzymes to get rid of, you know, chemical household cleaners. So they are, you know, an inspiration for me. There are people who ditched plastic use completely at home. They are an inspiration to me. So I draw inspiration not from just one person, but from different people who do their bit to be more sustainable.
Wow.
That's this amazing. New one.
Completely new perspective, which I have seen. So that's why, like, you know, we ask this kind of questions because every time we are surprised with answers.
Yeah.
And the last one. Yeah. And the last question for the day today, Barkha. If you could go back 10 years from now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I think I would tell my younger self to not be so worked up about things, because I think we just have to let go and live each day and each moment. There's no point in worrying too much about the future because everything pans out for the better.
Okay. Amazing. Perfect.
Yeah. Because you were in the corporate life. So everybody hates corporate life, I guess.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think my corporate life has really shaped me a lot. And I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have that experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think every experience that we go through is shaping us. And, you know, there is no knowledge or no experience that ever goes waste. That is something I truly believe in.
Amazing. And that's were amazing answers. Both of you have blown me away. So I am really...
they really were, I can say.
Yeah.
And thank you so much again for answering our questions patiently and bearing with us for this session. And I hope we didn't trouble you much. Yeah, we really love having you, Barkha.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure talking to you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, that's amazing. And we really love talking to you on the show. And where can our listeners find you, Barkha?
So our brand's website is greendigo.com. Mm-hmm. And I can be connected on LinkedIn or Instagram by the name of Barkha Bhatnagar Das. So yes, that's where you know, your audience can connect with me. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to our podcast till the end, guys. And we hope you are safe at home and taking care of your loved ones. And thank you so much, Barkha, for coming on to our show.
Thank you, Barkha, for blessing our podcast with your incredible aura, I can say that.
Yeah.
So also make sure you guys check out our Instagram. It is Sustainability101 and our website is www.sustainability101podcast.com. Remember, it's a podcast with an S in the end. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. We really love and appreciate your support.
Bye.